stretch out, but your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin.
Welcome to episode number 161 of the Inside Rome podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week. Got a bit to get through this week. A few things happening, a few results to talk about. Hopefully Richard Welsh is going to join us at one stage. No promises there. We're going to try to call him live during the show and see if he can preview the Launceston Running Festival, which is coming up in, not this weekend, next weekend. So we'll hear all about that. Moose and Brad will recap their weeks. We'll talk a bit about some listener questions. A bit to get through. A few results, as I said. Welcome to my co-host this week, up in Canberra. Had a big win on the weekend, ladies and gents. He took down the Gungahlin Park Run. It was 250 competitors, and he crossed the line in first place in 15:57. Welcome to the podcast, Bradley Croker.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, beat an 11 to 14-year-old. That was the guy that finished second. Ryan, somewhere between 11 and 14 he was.
But, Ryan Cousiner, his name was. Yep, 11 to 14. And then on the top, you got V-Men's 40 to 44. So congratulations on that big win on the weekend. How are you feeling?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm not too bad, not too bad. It was good to get out there. It's the only way I sort of get hard runs in now is if I know that I'm going to be meeting other people. Like the idea of going out and doing something like that solo wasn't that appealing. So that's why I went to parkrun.
Very good. And down in Anglesey, Julian Spence, the guy with the 2:14 marathon PB. How are you going?
Yeah, good, mate. I'm just picturing the young fella on his podcast going, yeah, this old bloke with his mop hair towed me up. Real odd-looking character.
Never seen him before, never heard of him.
Yeah.
He has a pair of the OG Next Percent, you know, the green ones. He was wearing those at Parkrun.
Yeah, actually, he had Next Percent on as well.
Yeah, I did see a photo of him. A few pairs of Next Percents. There was a guy with like a Nike Elite singlet on as well. Did you see that guy? He was in the photo just behind you. There's like, you know that one where they cut it halfway down the middle and it's one pattern on one side and another pattern on the other side?
No,
it was
that.
It was like black and white. Yeah, have a look at your parkrun photo when you get a chance. I'm pretty sure it was like a Nike Elite singlet.
No, I don't think so. Those things don't get around Gungahlin Parkrun.
No. Have a look later on when you're recapping your week and talking about Saturday on Strava. What's been happening up your way, Bradley? Much?
No, just plenty of work, actually. It normally dies down towards the end of term for relief teachers, but yeah, I've been working a lot and came home this afternoon to a new batch of St. Ali coffee, including their new coffee in a can. So excited to give that a go.
Yeah, I think you were having some withdrawals. You were messaging me every day saying, when's this next batch of coffee coming? I'm like, just settle down, it'll be here soon.
I loved it. When I finished the month's worth of coffee, I was just like, oh, when's the next month starting? But now I'm excited to give the coffee in a can a go, especially over summer, because they're meant to be drunk cold. So could make a nice iced coffee out of them, I'm guessing.
Yeah, this is the new thing at the moment, I think. This kind of cold drip coffee, is that what it's called? All the kids talking about it.
Yeah,
Melbourne, so I've got Brunswick.
Two blends here, like the Wide Awake and the Feels Good Organic blend. So, yeah.
You take those to school?
I'll have some during the week and report back next week.
Imagine cracking one of those on yard duty. I reckon you'd be buzzing.
Yeah, I should have had one tonight, actually, except then I won't be able to sleep.
Yeah, it's a bit hard this hour, isn't it, drinking coffee, like getting up for the podcast?
Yeah.
But anyway, that's good. Moose, what have you been doing down your way?
I've been running. I've been running a bit, been coaching, just the usual, fitting it all in, 7 days,
still,
12 days worth of work.
Still plenty of tourists down there?
Over the weekend, for sure. We're starting to get some schoolies come down, which has been fun.
Yeah,
but the pub's still shut. They haven't reopened the pub after, like, the COVID lockdowns and stuff. So I don't know where all the partying is going on. Hopefully not in Ann. Airbnb is near my house.
Is that because, sorry, you go.
I was just going to ask Moose's So business owner, would they still be shut because that JobKeeper stuff's still going?
So they wait until
they can have more people?
I actually think that perhaps they started doing renos when they entered that lockdown period to take advantage of that, and maybe the renos aren't done yet.
That's what one of them done up here. They're like, well, we'll shut, do the renos, all our staff can stay on and be on JobKeeper. And then I think they've just opened at the moment, like last weekend.
Yeah, I think they're probably 2 or 3 weeks away from opening now. So that's no good for someone who's down here to party.
Yeah, house parties are good though. They're the best parties you go to when you're 18.
No one could afford a pot for like $5 anyway when they were that age. I just drink like bottle of whiskey.
Goon bags, the cheap, stuff
cheapest
like that.
Bottle of whiskey.
Bottle of whiskeys. No one was drinking bottle of whiskeys when I was 18.
We would drink bottle of whiskey with some with like LA Ice Cola because it was 80 cents.
Oh no, we were drinking Passion Pop, like $3.50 a bottle. No one could afford a bottle of whiskey. What about real estate down there? I'm not sure if it's, I'm sure it would be like up here, everyone getting out of Melbourne and houses are just selling like hotcakes.
Insane at the moment. Oh,
incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Anyone who grew up here, unless you're kind of inheriting or you've got some crazy job where you're just earning a fortune, you're moving out. So what will happen? The rentals are near on impossible to get because a lot of the rentals are based around the holiday season, and so the house owner will won't want a permanent resident because they'll want to either use it for periods of time or they'll want to Airbnb it for just exorbitant amounts during the busy periods. So getting rentals here is near impossible for someone who can't afford to buy. So yeah, I got a feeling the town might sort of really change shape with the latest real estate changes.
That might be a good thing then. More people actually living in houses down there. If like all the Melbourne people are moving out to live in houses and work from home.
If that's the kind of new crowd you want living in your town, sure.
Maybe not, hey?
Well, look, the problem's always been like the locals sort of not against the tourists, but like obviously the tourists support the town. Through income in busy periods.
A lot of kooks,
it's a lot of people that come for 4 weeks and just think they rule the world, treat people like shit down here. Super, you can basically tell a local from a holiday maker just by on the trail if they look up, say hello or not. It's pretty obvious. And even just like being a worker in this town through the busy period, just the almost like the privilege of these sort of second homeowners down here that come down for a month a year and bring like this kind of like arrogance down with them. It's just, it was hard to deal with when you were younger. Now, like I understand the economy survives without it, but it does sort of leave a bit of a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah, you like brawling at the local pub too, don't you, back in the day?
Just used to flog them up, mate. The chip on your shoulder, come in after a late night at the pizza shop, just work in the ovens, just dealt with a few dickheads all of a sudden. Nah, I didn't used to get in fights, you know me. I didn't actually. I was a lot thinner back then, funnily enough, than I am now.
Yeah, right. What were you going to say, Croaks?
He never gets into fights because he's just tougher online and behind the microphone than he is in person.
I would say something and hide behind these two other big blokes that used to play footy. Go on, boys, you take care of them.
Yeah, that's the way I do it, I reckon. Just chuck a bit of lip and then just get out of there.
Yeah, find your way out the back door.
Were you going to say something before, Brad?
Oh, it's all right. I'll bring it up later on. It was about Moose's purchase of the week, but I'm excited to hear what it is this week.
Won't be a house by the sounds of things.
Heard a little rumour that he was going to get something, but I'll ask him later.
Did you? What, people are hitting you up with like Moose's purchase of the week predictions?
Yeah, just heard a rumour, but I'll ask him before he gets to it.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen here.
Looking forward to that part of the show. Yeah, neither do I. It's rare that Brad brings like little mysteries like that. Anyway, looking forward to it. Do you want to talk us through your week, Bradley?
Sure. So Monday I did weights in the morning because I didn't have to go to work on the Monday. So I went to the gym about 10 o'clock. And then that afternoon I went back to the gym and ran 10K on the treadmill, 4:30s, average sort of mid 130s heart rate. Then Tuesday was our fortnightly track session. So I headed down to Woden and had a good group. I reckon there was probably 10 to 15 sort of doing the same session. So session was 5 800s off a 4:30 cycle at mixed paces. So the first rep was sort of run at 5K pace. So I did that in like 2:32. So I thought like 76s, which, you know, around that sort of 16 minute pace. That felt really comfortable. And then the second and third reps, we were running the first lap at 3K pace and then dialing back into 5K pace for the second lap. So for that one, I was running sort of 71, 72s for the first lap and then back to that 75 for the second lap, which was sort of giving me a 225, 226. And I was getting roughly, 2 minutes recovery.
Why were you doing that? What was the purpose of that?
I'll go through then what the next two were. And then the next two reps were switching it around where you run the first lap at 5K pace and the second lap at 3K pace. So once again, I sort of went 75 and then sort of 69 for the second lap. And then for the last rep, I sort of overcooked the first lap a little bit. I went 72 for the first one. I'm like, I still want to kick down the pace. So I went 72, 68 for a 220. A few reasons for it. One was I found that changing the stimulus made the session go a lot quicker, but also a lot of the people that I'm coaching are sort of more 5K runners. And so the second and third reps, so the first rep was more of just a get in, run a comfortable sort of even rhythm for 5K. If that felt really hard, then just keep all the reps there. But if that felt reasonably comfortable and you're getting enough recovery, then let's try and sort of stress the body a little bit in that first lap and then try and relax back into race pace and sort of run controlled and try and run 5K race pace on sort of tighter legs or with a bit of lactic. And then the fourth and the fifth was just sort of mimicking how, you know, you'd like to finish strong in a race. So run the first lap at 5K pace and then try and kick down. For most people, it was about 4 seconds a lap difference.
So, Brad, did you everyone did the same workout, but you didn't pace this time. You actually did it at your ability.
Yeah, I just did it. Yeah, I did it because, one, I had never done this session before. It was something that I just made up, and I sort of just wanted to experience it for myself. And obviously, I don't know what shape I'm in at the moment, but I thought, I'll assume I'm in roughly 16 minutes, maybe slightly quicker, and just see how it felt. For me, 4:30 cycle was probably a bit too generous. Like, I was getting 2 minutes recovery, but that was more to cater for everybody so that we could start together. So people were getting at least sort of 90 seconds recovery. But I did this one solo. And then after that, we did 5 200s off a minute recovery, which were sort of 30 to 31 seconds. They probably got a little bit carried away towards the end. Everyone sort of goes, the session's pretty much done. Let's just sprint a few 200s. So it was a good fun session, actually. And changing the paces sort of throughout the session meant that, the 5 800s went pretty quick.
Yeah. Very good. You got a few there too. Just looking at your Strava, faces popping up everywhere.
Yeah. It was a good turnout.
You got merch and stuff too, don't you? Everyone's getting merch here.
Oh yeah. So there's this. It's the Agony of Defoot is the group that. I coach about, I don't know, 8 or 9 of them, but there's like 60 in the Strava group, and they've had singlets made up, and they actually presented. Well, they gave myself one, and they also got one for you guys too, with our names on the back and marathon PBs. So that was a nice gesture.
Yeah.
Which Zane organised, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I did like seeing that. Felt a bit embarrassed about seeing my marathon PB next to your two, though.
I don't mind this idea, actually. I might get this printed on my work clothes too.
So that was Tuesday. Wednesday after work, just went to the gym and rode for 70 minutes, 127 average heart rate, around 40K on the watt bike. Thursday, I went out for an hour in the morning around Mulligan's, 4:18s, and then weights that afternoon. Friday, I ran in the morning. I did 11K 4:06s and I wrote covering the ground fairly well. Like, it was a fun run. It was like the best I've felt moving in a long time. That being said, the track session, I actually felt quite smooth. Other than the warm-up, once I sort of got the warm-up out of the way, I felt like I was moving pretty well, which is encouraging, and it makes running fun when it's like that. So that was 11K at 4:06s. And then so I'm in an R-ing whether I was going to go to park run or not, because I knew that if I didn't go to park run, I would have just gone out for an easy run. And I was sort of like, well, I did a session on the Tuesday. It'd be good to do something a little like a tempo or something like that, because the track sessions are always a lot more intense off generous recovery. So, yeah, headed down to park run. Didn't really have a plan. I knew I was going to run faster than I did 2 weeks ago because I was pacing 2 weeks ago, and that felt really comfortable. And I thought, oh, well, I'll try and make it more like a tempo. And, yeah, took off. And, yeah, the first sort of 2 to 3K, it was pretty much all just 3:12s and felt really, really good. And then the heat, and like I'm sure you've guys experienced the heat and humidity over the weekend. And I got to about 3, 3.5K. And I'm like, ooh, this has got really hard all of a sudden. So I sort of just dialed it back a little bit and then was able to sort of pick up a little bit in the last K. So, yeah, so on the course around like 15:57. I wouldn't corners. Say that. Well, I didn't cut corners.
Stick to the left.
Yeah, yeah. Like it wasn't all out, but with the way the heat was, I was I reckon I maybe had like 15 seconds in me in terms of like being able to run faster. Yeah, that being said, I reckon the heat was worth another sort of 15 seconds or so, because it was I think like 22 degrees with like 90% humidity with the direct sunlight. And but just a lack of miles in the legs also hurts at that 3.5K mark when you're running relatively solid. But yeah, it was good fun. And then
see that guy I'm talking about in the photo over your right shoulder?
Yeah.
That's a Nike Elite singlet, isn't it?
Do you reckon it is?
Can't you buy that shit?
Have a look at that one, Moose.
Yeah, I can see it. I don't know much about that. He got the Vaporflies on.
He's got the Ekidens.
Actually, I reckon that's the
you
Redding.
You probably sold it to him, Moose.
The Redding. So there's brothers, or I'm not sure if they're brothers or twins, the Redding family in Canberra. I think one of them was on Beauty and the Geek, and the other was a competitive race walker, may have represented Australia.
Jeremy Redding, I've got the results up here.
Yeah, so...
Was he the race walker or the Beauty and the Geek? Nah, Australia's got talent, it says.
Australia's got talent?
Yep. Australia's got talent. Oh, no, what? No, it was on Beauty of the Geek as well.
Yeah. And one was a race... Yeah, so the race walker wasn't on Beauty and the Geek. The other one was on Beauty and the Geek. So I'm like, I don't know whether we need to cut this or not, but...
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
But the other guy was a pretty good race walker. And he's in that photo as well.
There he is. They both fit my description of some of the people in Canberra, Moose.
Yeah. Well, I'm just admiring the front running downstride of Brad Croker up front.
He looks good, doesn't he?
He got the trucker hat on. Probably
that's a
got
Parks it. Hat. It's a Ben Parks hat, actually.
Oh, right. I was going to say, it looks like one of those Monster Energy drink hats. We're just missing the logo.
Ben Parks. Good. Shout out to Ben.
Did you buy that off him?
Oh, he gifted it to me, actually.
Yeah, you wouldn't, you tight fuck. You wouldn't.
He gifted it to me. He sent me a book.
Send you a hat, Miss?
No, he didn't send me a hat,
mate. Ben liked me as well.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well. There's always got to be one favourite on the show.
There's always next year. Maybe Christmas. Maybe he'll send you one for Christmas. Who knows?
Get in the mail now, Ben. You got 4 weeks. That, Moose. He looks good, doesn't he? Like, at 40, you got to remember he's 40. That's still a long way off for us. And if I look like that photo at 40 and run sub 16, I reckon I'll be pretty happy.
He doesn't look like he's got a lot of body mass on him or a lot of body fat.
He's been in the gym.
Can't you tell I've been in the gym, Moose?
Shoulders are looking a bit stronger than they were. That's about the main part. I would have liked to see it without a shirt on.
I looked a lot better at that point than I did about 15 minutes later.
Yeah, you're leading out a big solid field behind you.
And so then Sunday I didn't get out of bed early enough to get the long run in because it was super hot and windy here on Sunday morning, and I ended up going to the gym mid to late afternoon and did an hour 45 on the treadmill. Felt good. Just been focusing on just a bit more technique stuff, just trying to move better. And one high 130 heart rate, 24K in an hour 45, and ended up running about 87K for the week with one day of not running. So it was
what are the cues?
Yeah, we
what,
might have to cut this, Brad, but can you let us know about this big dog in the UK you've been working with yet?
Well, Yeah, I guess I can. No. Well, actually, I want to get him on the podcast.
Something's going on here, Moose. Big development in Brad Croker's coaching life.
Okay.
So it was a book. It was a book that Ben Parks was reading it, and he had it on his Instagram, and I sent him a message saying, "Oh, look, is that book any good?" It was called The Lost Art of Running, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm finding it really interesting." And Ben was actually doing work with this guy. It's like a technique coach, and his name's Shane Benzie, and he's been sort of all over the world looking at like the Nepalese Sherpas. He's been over working with Brother Colm in Kenya. He's had like putting sensors on like Ronex, the 10K.
Kipruto.
Yep. So he's been working with all these, basically trying to work out what makes good runners good. And so anyway, Ben had a copy of the book that he sent me, and I read it. And then I started following this Shane on Instagram, and he reached out to me, and he's just started up a website that has pretty much everything in the book, but in like these really sort of 2 to 4 minute videos. And so he gave me access to that, and I've sort of just been going through it. So, and that Friday run where I wrote Covering the Ground Fairly Well, like for the whole 45 minutes or whatever, I was just focusing on these 5 or 6 different cues from head to toe. And I definitely felt like I was, that I was running better and more efficient. So,
Interesting. Another long one on the treadmill. Don't know how you do that. Anyway, that's a good week from you. How many K? 89.
Oh, no, because I think that included 2 extra K on the treadmill, which, because of my watch. So I think it's like 87.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Don't get taking those extra 2K.
Not bad. 87 off 6 runs a week. 6 runs, yeah.
Explain the treadmill thing this week.
It's too hot, remember?
It was more the weather. It was more the weather than anything.
I thought that was last week.
No, I ran outside. I did my long run outside last week.
Oh, right. Yeah. True.
So, that's the thing now. I find that I'm just now, because I'm not, I don't know, like being super competitive, I've sort of gone a bit soft. So it's like, if I don't want to do that, then I'll just go to the gym. Whereas like so many people that I coach here in Canberra were out battling the elements, and I'm just like, oh man, I feel like such a pussy for not going out and running. I even said to Viv yesterday, I'm like, you know, like back in the day, I would have actually like gone and run outside. Whereas now I'm like, you know what? I'll just go to the gym. As long as I'm doing some form of running, some sort of exercise. And also I can focus on my technique a little bit more on the treadmill as well.
It's different running on a treadmill though.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I still feel like a lot of the cues I can still incorporate.
Moose, what have you been doing down there? Tell us about your running week.
It was pretty good. I was coming off the back of that injection I had, so I was still rebuilding early in the week.
You lost him, Brad?
Okay. I did drills and strides afterwards. Ellie and Bree came with me, or I went with them, actually. I think I sometimes crashed their party a little bit. We ran on the trails, so I wore a glide ride. This new ASICS, I'm really enjoying it. It was good. Heart rate's coming way down on these easy runs, which is good. Next day, ran in the morning, doubled actually. So ran in the morning with Bree and Anglesey, just jogged along. Had a real sore back. I think I got this sore back from the sun. When did I get this sore back from? Yeah, I'm not exactly. I think I did too much osteitis. Like I was doing a lot of rehab stuff for the osteitis pubis, and then I reckon I overdid it and I started to use my back too much when I was doing the core work, and so I had a really sore back on Tuesday. So I jogged in the morning, then I drove to Ballarat, and obviously not ideal driving when you've got this sort of back tightness. Worked obviously during the day, and then in the evening I went out for the workout, which was. Oh, is this the wrong week?
He's lost the 17th. Lost the plot, Brad.
Have I already talked about this before? I have. I've already talked about this.
Yeah, you're up to like the 21st or the 29th or something,
yeah,
aren't you?
Right, sorry,
22nd.
Yeah, go ahead. All right. So, funnily enough, the 10K was like Monday was exactly the same, and then Tuesday. in the morning, I didn't do a workout. I got the injection. So I didn't do a workout. I just jogged. And then Wednesday, again, just ran around the lake, did some surges with Chop. So it was a perfect day around the lake, 140 beats a minute. It was 420 average. Seeing a lot of the brands, doing a lot of orders. So there's a bit going on at the moment. So Thursday, again, just a jog. I drove down to Aries and ran with Ali in the morning. We checked out this tempo loop that the group was doing on Friday evening. And so I had a little look at the hills and then ran a lot of dirt roads. Pretty tough running out there. 225 meters in that 14K. And again, it's a good heart rate sign. So 421s and average 132. We did strides or surges towards the end. And then I jogged in the afternoon, another double. So I was starting to beef miles up again. Friday morning, jogged with Bree just in town. 7K, and in the afternoon we went down and did the main sort of workout of the week, which was a 5.8K hilly tempo. So kind of based off a lot of the Ballarat type workouts that have been done over the years, whether it's sort of been like Tony Benson's loop, then Steve Monaghetti had his hilly tempo loop, then I know the guys used to love running Buninyong, just sort of bottom to top as a workout, and Shane Nankervis had his hilly tempo that he used to do as well. So it is a real Ballarat thing, and this was no different. It was very hard. We ran 5.8K, 168 meters of climbing, and we went out pretty hard. So it was, these are never easy to control when you go up hills this steep. One of the hills was 18% gradient, so I think it might be a little too steep, just based on some of the downhills. I think it was a little risky how steep the downhills are. I'm not too worried about the uphills being steep, but there's more risk going down. So yeah, it was I ran 2011. Matt Gunther finished 10 seconds in front of me, and there was a group behind. I think there was about, I don't know, maybe 8 of us or so. It was a tough workout. It was quite hot. Everyone was finishing pretty cooked, and it was fun to watch because there was elements of racing going on within the workout. And everyone's been starved of races for so long that we'd built this one up to be a little bit like that, to sort of have a bit of race practice and without it being serious or anything. It was actually really enjoyable. And after the workout, we had some beers at the end after the cool down, and then headed home. But it's just, I was pretty smashed after that, like dehydrated, couldn't sleep very well. And all my adductors were pretty sore from the hills. In retrospect, not the smartest thing to do. But next day, ran 8K around town. And then Sunday morning, long run down in Aries Inlet. So I made this course. It was going to be about 22K, something like that. But I made it on the pretty good loop, like in what I thought was a good loop, trails, dirt roads. But overnight, it pissed rain. And so it turned all the trails into like mud pits and mud slides. And like by that stage, like the group was already there and we were off for a run. And I'd posted the direct, like the GPX file. So the people knew where they were supposed to go. So I didn't change the loop up, but it was pretty muddy, and going down some of those hills was like going skiing, and then going up them with your shoes, just collecting mud. They weigh about 5 kilos each. It was tough work. So I ended up going 21K, climbed 473 meters, and the average was 440, but that was only my average because I had to really come. I had to catch the group after I stopped for a bathroom break. So my average was faster than everyone else. It was 101K week, and I'm just ready to go now. So this was a building block week after the injection. And so today, like, everything felt great. And again, sort of raring to go for a workout tomorrow.
Hey, I thought you were good at hills. Gunther, yeah, gotcha.
Everyone thinks that, but I'm not very good. I've never really had a good, I've never run a good bunny time, Mount Buninyong. And I've never done well over Monash Hill course. I thought I was good at hills until I went to Ballarat. And then I got towed up down there every time we went to a hill course. And yeah, I worked out I wasn't that good at hills. I think, I don't know why people got that idea. I think it was a Bogong to Hotham, but that's different. It's a bit different. It's not like hard, fast, cross-country style hill running. It's like, all right, I'm on a mountain, I'll see you at the top in 90 minutes type grind it out. That's a different type of hill running to this type of stuff.
I reckon you got, I used to think 100 metres per 5K was a good amount of like rolling hills for a hilly tempo. And you've got about 160. I reckon it's a bit too many.
It's pretty hilly.
Yeah.
It's
like, you know, you run a 4-minute K in there.
I know.
And you would have been gassing yourself as well. Like, it's...
I ran a 4-minute K, and like Gunther's run probably a 4-minute K, and he's going to be around 30 minutes down in Launceston, I reckon. But like, I guess I always thought that about Monash Hill course as well. Oh, this is a bit too steep. You can't get any rhythm or whatever, but that's the age old argument. It worked for him. And sometimes it's not about being pretty or whatever. It's about actually just getting yourself on these climbs, very steep, feeling like you want to stop, but mentally like being able to find ways to get through it, because it is very hard mentally when you hit a hill like this, when you're already gassed, not to stop and walk. And yeah, it was just, you won't do this very often. I'll doubt whether we'll go back here. Like, maybe we'll do this once a year, I think, and then we'll find a more appropriate regular hilly tempo loop.
Yeah, good. I like it.
It's, yeah, like
being comfortable with being uncomfortable.
It was funny. Some people, they didn't give up at the end, but they fell off towards the end, and others were quite strong through the back half, and some people ran out of their skin, like finishing well ahead of those that they normally can't keep up with on track workouts. So it was good to see the different styles of runners come through.
Yeah, I saw the Instagram video, and it looked pretty, whoever video taped at that stage, it was pretty brutal. Everyone that went past them just looked terrible.
That was, you should have seen the video. That was about 2.5K in. You should have seen the way back. It looked like there was zombies coming back. It wasn't impressive. That's for sure.
Good. All right, go through this week and come good, boys. Nearly got there. Monday morning, 9K, 4:35 pace, just 6:50 in the morning. Ticking it off the back of that 90 minutes on Sunday. Tuesday, I didn't run. I paced Archie. He was doing like a 15K tempo. And then it's hard to find time. So if I'm using that hour in the morning to pace someone on the bike, I find it hard to, I think I had a meeting after school and doing some dad stuff and stuff like that, just find it hard to get out. But because I'm not training for anything at the moment, I'm all good just to miss a day. Just looking at Strava though, it's a bit embarrassing that I rode the bike for 15K and got 168 kudos, and Archie ran 15K at like 3:08 and got 78 kudos. So if you're out there, just flick the kid a follow. He's training pretty well at the moment. Wednesday, I did 10.4K at 4:24.
Wait one sec.
Yep.
What about the fact that you've ridden for 15K and got 7 meters of elevation?
Yes, there's a tiny little, like, I'd call it a speed hump in that bit. It's a good loop, that one. We enjoy doing workouts around them.
That must be so flat.
There's no hills in the whole town. Like, it's, and this is just like good quality roads the whole way. Kind of quiet streets. Like in that 15K, we probably had 5 cars go past us. It's kind of like the GPS does muck around. If you look at that, really, where it says Moama Waters down at that's kind of a small block. It's probably 500, but we just go around that caravan park just so we don't have to do a complete U-turn and then get back onto the straight roads again. So it's good, perfect for these workouts to lock in, hold the pace. Geez, I get a sore bum riding the bike though. Like, I have to get out of my seat just to mix it up a bit. And yeah, it was good. Gave Brad a bit of video footage on Instagram after he asked for that last week. Wednesday, got out for 10K, 4:24s. Thursday, did a workout, did some 5-minute efforts. I said last week I just wanted to try and test the hamstring quicker than kind of 4:20 pace. So I did 4x5 minutes with 2 minutes jog between. Average probably 3:14 pace for the 5-minute efforts. Felt really good, felt smooth when I was doing them. The heart rate was pretty good as well, actually, like 156 for the first 5, 162 for the second, 164 for the third, and 166 for the fourth. So, you know, I'm probably 5 or 6 seconds, or maybe more than that, maybe close to 8 or 10 seconds per case slower than what my previous kind of threshold would have been, but I'm not, like, I'm still maintaining some pretty decent fitness because I'm still getting out for a long run and one kind of workout a day. The next morning though, that discomfort, like, I could feel it, and at the moment I'm like, am I feeling this because I did a workout, or am I feeling this because I'm like oversensitive that I want to pay attention to every little sore spot in my leg at the moment? And then I keep bringing it back to myself. I'm like, Brady, you would have been sore post a workout anyway, so just see what happens. And ended up being all right. Did 12K Friday morning at 4:27s. The boys were on the track, so I just jogged around watching them train. So most of that was kind of on the grass, which was nice. Saturday, I did an hour, which is good. So I'm trying to get like these 45-minute runs up to like 60 minutes. That was 13.3K at 4:30s. And then Sunday was feeling amazing, actually. Got out for 2 hours. So probably maybe should have went from 1:30 to 1:45, but handled 2 hours pretty good. Very little discomfort, if any, and it didn't change throughout the whole run. Didn't get better, didn't get worse. So 27.66K at 4:20 pace and 80-something K for the week, I think. No, is that 100? That can't be right. That's on the bike. I think it was about 80. Yeah. Bike, maybe. Oh, that's a bit tricky, isn't it? I don't like how it does that. I think it was like 83K or something like that for the week, 84K. So I'm going to introduce another workout this week, and then maybe back to doubles. So we'll see what's happened. But on the good side of it, but still relaxed, still taking my time. And then, yeah, booked in for that iron infusion, so that should kick in soon when I get it done. And, yeah, pretty positive. Still enjoying it. I'm still enjoying just like dialing things back a bit. Maybe I was a bit mentally fried as well.
What are you, you're progressing your physio exercises? Like more weight or more reps or different?
No, I'm just doing the same ones because he kind of gave me these ones and he kind of said, if it doesn't respond to it, come back and see me. And now because I feel like it's responding, but maybe I should, you reckon, book in and just say, hey, what else can I do to fully shake it?
I think the idea is that you advance the exercises as you get stronger. Whether it's more reps or whether it's sort of more challenging exercises, that's normally how like a rehab program goes. Mm. You kind of do like level one, then you go up to whatever, like tighter band or whatever, or something like that.
Might get back in there and see him. Yeah, because this was just like the first initial one, and he's kind of like, yeah, if this doesn't respond, you need to come back. But yeah, we didn't really talk about. Well, I kind of said, well, if it does respond, you won't see me again. But I reckon that would have been different if it did respond and I fully got rid of it, but now it's kind of been, 3 weeks, 4 weeks kind of thing, dealing with it, and probably 2 weeks or 3 weeks of doing the exercises. So.
And you're still running, it's not like you haven't rest or anything, so you still run 100K or 90K or whatever.
Yeah. No, it's good. Should we thank some Patreon supporters, fellas? Bradley, you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
See, that moves how many questions we're asking about his week, and then he just turns his mic off while we recap. Well, no, this is what happens when you win parkrun.
He thinks he's the king, isn't again. No.
He's gone from third to first in the last 10 days.
I retired, and now he's come back, and it's all...
I turned it on mute because the kids next door were screaming. So there's times where I was going to butt in, but I'm like, you don't want to hear kids screaming. So they've hopefully gone to bed now, so nice and peace and quiet. Brady, so your two-hour run, do you feel your hammy at all in that?
Nah, I felt like a bit sloppier in the like probably the last 15 minutes just because of getting a bit tired. But like the 1 out of 10 pain that you guys give me shit about has just turned into like the 0.5 out of 10 pain. Like I can still feel it tiny. It actually feels like it went a bit further up, which was like getting close to that like bone there. And I'm like, ooh. But there's no way I could have a stress fracture in my sacrum and still be running 2 hours. Is there?
Don't know. Are you not going to go and get a scan?
Absolutely not.
No. That's all right. Yeah, that's all right.
Doing that workout, being able to run 2 hours without even feeling it, you don't have a stress fracture.
Because the most discomfort I get is when I'm sitting down on a seat and it hurts like my bum, like my bone. Like that's what annoys me now.
It's like a high hamstring tendinopathy. I reckon I've had that before as well. People get it sitting in cars and stuff.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
Make me think that like that car trip home from Sydney was just when it blew it up, like going up there and going back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, definitely. Still buying the spikes as well, I suppose. Bradley, what Patreon are you thinking? Thank him. We've got to go to Welshy soon.
Yeah, my shout out's back over to the US. We've got Jamie Hardop, who lives in Hoboken in New Jersey, USA. He ran 16 minutes for a 5K on the track yesterday, which was a PB. So congratulations, Jamie. 34.44 for 10K's run. 74 minutes for the half marathon, and he's run 2:42 at Boston Marathon last year. He won the Teterboro Airport 5K, went to Ursinus College, which is a top liberal arts college in Pennsylvania, and he's now a senior media trader at Quotient Technology Incorporated. So thanks for your support, Jamie, and yeah, good to see another US patron.
Yeah, US, we're starting to pick up a few over there, aren't we?
We've had like two in the last month.
What about that email I sent through the other day? How were the number one ranked running podcast in Australia, Singapore, Hong Kong, Ireland, and Israel?
Australia. Oh, did you say Australia?
Yeah, Australia. We're number one in Australia.
How many ranked podcasts are in Israel, do you know?
No, but we're the top. Second in Norway behind Christian, though. That's what really got me riled up.
Anyway,
he still owes us.
He's basically stolen our entire format.
Yeah.
And then he should be paying royalties
or something, shouldn't he?
Yeah, the government pays him now.
Yeah, he gets paid by the government. Does
he get paid by like the Norwegian Running Federation?
No, he gets paid by like the TV network, which is funded by the government, I think. Mm-hmm. ABC in Australia.
The least he can do is buy you two a Ben Parks hat for Christmas.
Oh, that would be good. You know, he's donating some time. I'm talking to him on Thursday morning, I think, for a Friends of the Show episode again.
I'll hit him up for a hat.
I will. Ask him.
He's a card con man.
Ben, if you see an invoice come through from Christian / from Norway, that's him. Who are you thinking, Moose?
I'm thinking Craig Kirkwood. He is from Tooranga in New Zealand. And this guy is the real deal. So Craig's 3:49, 1500 meter. I'm saying that's a 15, not a mile. 13:55, 5K runner. So he's got us covered there. 28:37, 10K, well and truly covered. 63:43, half man. And he's run 2:13 at Chicago Marathon 2001. He was 13th that day. He's got his own coaching business, CK Coaching. He represented, I'm not sure who he represented, but I'm guessing New Zealand at the World Cross Country Champs, 99 and 2000, World Half Marathon Champs, 98, World Student Games, 2000, in the 10,000 meter in 97, and the 2002 Commonwealth Games for the marathon. That's a pretty good little resume that Craig's got himself there. It's nice to be thanking another elite athlete.
Another guy who's made a team. A team or two. I nearly fell off my seat when I started Googling this.
2002 Com Games, where was that at?
So it was before Melbourne, 4 years before Melbourne. Manchester? No?
Manchester or Kuala Lumpur?
Manchester.
Jeez, Trelfall gets it there.
Oh, yeah, you got it. But then you said no immediately, which...
Isn't it going back to Manchester next year, though?
I actually yelled it out, and then Birmingham. I'm like, why aren't you saying anything? And then I looked and I was on mute.
Ah, yeah, doing those sneaky little tricks has cost you tonight.
The 2022 now.
Oh, okay, I thought that were going back to Manchester. That's why I was getting a bit confused, doubt myself. So you can imagine like every Sunday when I sit down and start researching our patrons, and I probably put more effort into researching the patrons every week than actually doing the show notes because they're just like copy and paste results. When I looked at Craig Kirkwood, nearly fell off my seat. I'm like, this guy is legit as. We should get him on for an interview for sure. He'd have some real good stories about back in the day in New Zealand.
Yeah. Well, I'm not...
Do you know him? You've heard of him before this?
I don't. I've heard of him, yeah. I've definitely heard of him, but I know the name, and I'm not sure where I know the name from, but obviously he's popped up in this type of thing before.
Brad, closer to your era, you heard of him?
I think I became aware of him through Christchurch. I don't know if I met him in Christchurch when I went over to do the half, or I have heard of him. Yeah.
Very good. I'm going to thank Matthew Burt from Mermaid Beach up in Queensland. Hard to find anything on Matthew Burt, but I think this is right, Matthew. But yeah, please accept my apology if they're incorrect. 18:34 for 5K. 55:12 for 10K. Doesn't really convert that well, so that's why I've got a bit of a concern here. 1:28 for the half marathon. 3:11 at Melbourne Marathon a couple of years ago, I think it was. Maybe runs a few trail races as well. I did see some results at the Guzzler Ultra and the Brisbane Trail Ultra earlier this year before stuff started getting shut down and stuff. So, Matthew, if that's you, thank you. Craig, thank you. And Jamie, thank you over there in the USA. for supporting the Inside Run podcast, making sure we come out every week. And boys, a bit of a follow-up from last week. On Avon does mean if a town's on a river. So I had a lot of people writing about this. So for example, if we were relating this to like Melbourne, be like Melbourne upon, no, is it? Oh, I've got this wrong here. I should just read this stuff when people send it in. Regards to your question about on Avon, it basically means the town is situated on that river. You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
So like Geelong on Barwon, Echuca on Murray. It's a common thing in the UK, they reckon.
Okay.
There you go, Australian listeners.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it either. All right, we're going to Richard Welsh, boys. Talk amongst yourselves for a second, come up with some questions, because this guy's the run director of the Launceston Running Festival, which is on next week. And he's got a fair dinkum field organised. Just talk amongst yourself for a second, fellas.
I don't know. Who's asking the questions? You are?
I've got some questions there. You see those notes I put down there? No. Richard's pretty good talking. We won't have to say much.
Oh, no. Dave McNeil's out.
Oh, is he?
Get rid of that. Bang.
No. Got a niggle?
Yeah, got a niggle. Yep.
Well, she probably don't even know that yet. We might break that news to him.
No.
Oh, he's put his video on.
I don't know much.
We're one of your big names has dropped out for a couple of weeks' time. Richard, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, mate. Are we live already?
We're live. We always do this, just coming live, just make it feel authentic and stuff. How are you going down there in Tasmania?
Very organic, mate. I'm very happy. I've just had some lovely Tasmanian salmon for dinner because the funniest thing happened last week. One of our sponsors from Run the Bridge last year, Huon Aquaculture, not funny for them, but funny for everyone else who likes salmon, a leak and they lost like 50,000 salmon. And so all these amateur fisher people are running around catching all the salmon. And there's that everyone in Tasmania had salmon for dinner tonight that was commercially grown that they caught themselves. Because someone knows someone who's a fisherman.
Interesting. Hey, welcome to the show. You're on this week because we wanted to preview the Launceston Running Festival, which is not this weekend but next weekend on the Sunday. And you released the fields probably maybe 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, and they're pretty amazing. So much depth. I'm not sure if we've seen fields like this in Australia before, especially considering they're all Australians. A good opportunity for a return of racing here in Australia, and there's some big dogs on there. You must be pretty stoked with who you've got signed up.
It's pretty much easier to talk about who's not coming than who is coming. The day we announced it, I got another 38 elites contact me that day going, that's awesome, I want to be a part of it. So everyone's coming. We've got, to put it in perspective, we've got 28 guys that have broken 30 minutes for 10K and an additional 20 who have broken 32 minutes. So 48 guys under 32 minutes in the 10K, which is just remarkable. The women is very strong as well. I mean, we've still got about 25 in that elite field. And if I count through, there's probably 10 that have broken 33 minutes as well, or just bang on. There's a couple of 33-0s. So not as deep, but still, I mean, 10 women who are on 33 minutes or faster is pretty rare for Australian female distance running. And I don't know if you want to keep talking about the 10 or go into the half as well, because it's a first time event that we've put on this year as well.
Did you have concerns when you put, sorry, Moose, can I just fire in this quick one here? Did you have concerns when you put on the half that it would split the talent in two separate directions? But, like, obviously that hasn't happened because both the fields are super strong. But with the success, I guess, of Launceston 10 in the past, there would have been a bit of a risk when you introduce a half?
Yeah, there was, but it's played to our benefit as well this year because, one, there's nowhere else to race. So, you know, everyone can come down and it splits them up. It also helps spread out our races in terms of our COVID plan. So we've got approval for up to 2,000 participants, but not in all of the one event. So the 10K is our biggest field and then the half will be our second biggest. So it's played into a benefit that way. But I know we talk about the elites and you guys talk about the elites because that's kind of the juicy parts of these events. But to be honest, it's all about, for race directors, it's about trying to attract numbers. And people are more likely to travel for a half marathon, get on a plane, like a recreational runner. You'll often see the halves at Sydney, Melbourne, Gold Coast are probably the biggest fields. And so that's what we're certainly, you have that at the Cadbury Marathon in my experience. So we wanted to put on an event that people would be prepared to travel for. And already we've had four times the number of interstate participants coming to this year's event than they've ever been for it. So I guess there's a couple of reasons for that, of course, but the adding the half certainly appeals to people who are not necessarily elite, but are keen to jump on a plane and go and have a run somewhere.
Mm. Yep. Moose?
What sort of things, Welshie, have you
You've had to do to make this comply with the government over there in terms of the COVID plan? What sort of differences are there to a normal race?
Yeah, mate, I feel like I've just had to talk to them a million times, to be honest. It's been very, very frustrating, to say the least. So I hope people appreciate the effort that's gone into it. There'll be – the timetable is a bit weird if you look at it. We've got races finishing where the start times is structured in a way that there's very few people out on the course that can overlap and touch those. So we really had to look at our metrics of where people were on the field. So you look at it and like, why is there races at 8:20 and 8:45 and 8:55? But that's all to do with that. And we've got a holding area for the start lines, so we can let people out in dribs and drabs. Initially, we had to have waves of the 10K. We haven't had to do that, which is nice. In our first COVID plan, we had to. And then you've got to do all the things like, we keep the participants' data for 21 days in case there is an outbreak and when we have to contact everybody, encourage people to have the COVID safe app, have sanitizing stations everywhere. But the big one for the government is socially distancing on the start line. Now, it sounds pretty funny and weird, but I've actually organised two other major fun runs this year during COVID times, and people were naturally really well behaved on the start line and quite socially distanced anyway. So people, I think that's just creeping into normal life. I mean, we've all been on the start line of a major fun run and been shoulder to shoulder with someone who stinks next to you, and it's not a very pleasant experience. And I think people just don't want to do that in general life anymore, and even on the start line. So our biggest field will be about 750 to 800 people. Nice big 12-metre wide start line, 150 metres long, so there'll be plenty of room for everyone. And as long as if people listening, biggest thing is if you can start at the place where you think you'll finish in respect to the starting line. So if you're a contender, you're going to run under 3-minute Ks, by all means, go on the front row. If you're a walker with a pram at the back, go on the back. But everywhere in between, you know, if you can basically, I know everyone wants to get a good fast start, but if you can start where you're about, you think you deserve your finish place to be, it'll make it a really pleasant experience for everybody on the start.
Speaking of finishing places, Welshie, which matchups and head-to-heads do you like?
Yeah, Welshie, if you were writing a book on this, you were doing the odds, who you got, the favourites?
Well, let's start with a women's half because I'm a little bit conflicted because I manage Millie Clark, and let's assume that the South Australian borders are okay and Jess Stenson, Nee Trengove comes over. When you add to that Andrea Sakafi and the Canadian record holder, she's got the quickest PB in the field by over a minute when she ran 69.38 this year at Marugame. She and Millie had a terrific battle at Run the Bridge this year. It came down to the last 200 metres and Andrea won by 5 seconds. Millie's pretty dirty on that. That was her last major race. So she's after a scalp. And so there's a minute 10 on PBs. Millie told me the other day she's just gunning for the win. And if she has to run under 69 minutes, she'll do it. And it is her hometown. And I wouldn't put it past her. And then Jess is flying as well. So she's coming over wanting to break 70 minutes on shore. So it could very well be, we've got a pacer for those ladies. So I think the top three women on the course that we've got prepared, which is pretty flat, there's a little elevation around 13K, but then you chuck a Yui and come straight back down it anyway. So it won't be a time breaker. I think the top three women, if they're all in shape and run well and have a good day, they can all break 70 minutes. So that's kind of the one I'm looking forward to the most. The men, I think, I mean, Brett Robinson's the out-and-out favourite. His PB is more than 2 minutes quicker than anyone else in the field. The difference will be his preparation. He obviously DNF'd at London and then spent 2 weeks in a hotel room where I don't know if he got a treadmill in or jogged on the spot or what, but he wouldn't have done much quality work after that. So he could be primed for getting scout. It'll be interesting. His stable mate from MTC, Joel Tobin White, pretty keen to go under 62 minutes. And I think it's a course that he can do that on. And then Sam McEntee is making his debut. He's Olympic 5,000-metre runner. And we know how well Brett Robinson transitioned from being Olympic 5,000-metre runner to the half marathon, breaking the Australian record. So pretty good depth there. And then you've got four other guys who have run in the 64s. So that's Ed Goddard, who's flying at the moment, won New South Wales champs recently, Tim Vincent, Dave Ridley, and Tom DeCanto. So a fair bit of depth still with the guys in the half, but I think Robbo's the one to catch in that one.
Brady, almost as deep as Cadbury half this year, you reckon?
Pretty similar, Welsh, don't you reckon? I'm the only bloke that's won a half marathon in Tassie this year, I reckon.
Well, how are you going? Why aren't you in this field?
I've got a bit of a sore hamstring, Welshie. Yeah, I was flying when there was no races for 6 months, and now races are back, and I've got a little niggle.
He's not going to show up at these ones. He'll cherry pick his way to the top.
Welshie, another question. Brady had a theory last week that Stewie McSwain would come down and pace his mate Robbo in the half. So we noticed that Stewie's not on any start list. Was your budget not big enough to get Stewie down?
Tasmanian boy, where is he, Welshie?
Yeah, well, I have been talking to Nick about him, and I did really want him to come down and break. I reckon he could break 28 in the 10K, and that was kind of the initial thinking. But he of course, just spent 2 weeks in a hotel room as well. He did all those racing. After he paced he didn't pace the world record, but he was in that 10,000-metre race where they broke the world record recently. He went on a holiday after that, then he had to spend 2 weeks in a hotel afterwards. So he's just not firing. There's no deal. I can tell you there's no deal at the moment for him to come down. If Stuart McSwain wants to come to mainland Tasmania, I'm more than happy to pay for his flights and get him here, though, of course, any day of the week. But I am talking to a pretty good pacer, not as good as Stewie, of course, but a pretty good pacer in Jake Birtwistle, who's a local lad and, you know, number three triathlete in the world. So he's kind of the guy that I'm trying to convince to be the pacer, and he'd get the boys rolling for, you know, not quite 10K, I don't think, but he'd get him close to it, and that'd be enough to get the ball rolling on that race. So we got plenty of good Tasmanian distance runners down here, guys. We don't have to bring in the big dog all the time.
True, yeah. We haven't even touched a 10K yet, Welshie, and this is probably the most exciting. The most depth, I think, when you look at the stories involved. Like, you got Ben St. Lawrence, I suppose he's doing that one because you didn't mention him in the half, but he was on two different start lists at one stage there. Jack Rayner, Liam Adams, Riley Cox, Kieran Tall, Dejan Gabrielselassie could do anything. Like, we're talking about Jordan Williams and Ryan Gregson's at, you know, the seventh or eighth kind of names we're listing here. Kevin Batt, like, there's talent everywhere here. Nick Earl, the local legend down there. Dave Thomas, the best swagger in the race. Who do you fancy?
Yeah, Benny's not decided if he's going to do the 10 or the half yet. He's obviously got the quickest PB in the field, but, you know, he's probably not in that form, and he'd be the first one to tell you at the moment.
Why is he leaving it so late? A bit of suspense he's trying to build around himself, or what do you reckon?
Yeah, he's an intriguing character, Benny Saint.
So, a bit of cat and mouse, I think.
Maybe. He's probably trying to see where he's likely to do. Well, he might, you know, he can probably watch the half and then get excited and do the 10 or other way around. He'll be a competitor in both of those. He told me he can probably break 63 for a half at the moment, which would be close to his PB. I mean, his PB on the road, he's probably not going to touch at the moment, but, you know, if he feels like he's going okay, he might have a crack at the half. Liam Adams is another one. He's not sure whether he'll go one way or the other. He'd be welcome in either one. He's a ferocious road racer in Australia. We all know that. And if he's on a start list, he can win any race that he's on the start line for in Australia. Jack Rayner's probably tough to beat. He holds a course record on this. He ran 28.31 when he won the last edition of this race. He'd probably start the favourite, I would suggest, in the men's race. But like you said, Dejan rang me the other night and said, "Oh, Welshie, I want to have a crack at the 5K. I said, "Mate, if you run the 5K, you'll win it by 3 minutes and you'll look silly because everyone else is doing the 10 and a half. It's, you know, the 5K is for, you know, joggers and park runners and the and kids and the like." And he goes, "Oh, I reckon I can run under 14 minutes. So he's going pretty well at the moment. So I've managed to convince him to stay in the 10K though. And then if it's slow, guys like Jordy Williams and Ryan Gregson will be, you can't outkick Gregson, I think. Gregson ran 2:30 for the last kilometre at Run the Bridge this year. He was off the pace by then because the boys heard him over the hill. But it's going to be exciting. I think Rayner will just be quick enough early to burn off some of those guys. And if he had a treadmill in quarantine on his way back from overseas, because he was overseas recently.
No, he didn't go. He stayed at home.
Yeah, no, he's the one. Yeah. Who'd have thought that we'd be talking about whether an athlete's going to be a contender for a race as to whether or not they had a treadmill in it?
Welshie, you mentioned you look after Millie Clark. She'd be hoping to get a marathon in soon.
Yeah, of course. You know, that women's marathon for the Olympics is just so tight. I mean, it's the most deep event we've got out of all 45 global events at a major track and field championships, and how exciting is it that we've got, you know, Ellie, Lisa, Sinead, Millie, they're all under the Olympic qualifier. Not just, like, Millie's a minute 22 under the Olympic qualifier and she's the fourth girl. Mm-hmm. So she's got to run another one, unless you've got any inside word for us, Moose, on whether Ellie's going to run the 10 in Tokyo or is she going to
No inside word.
What, the guests aren't allowed to ask questions?
Do whatever you want here, mate. Hey, Welshie, I was on the podcast last week saying that where are they going to run the marathon? Like, are you expecting that Jess and Millie could potentially rock up at Hobart and go for a qualifier there? I was throwing up the idea that Athletics Australia should maybe, you know, put on a race or a qualifying opportunity for them.
Well, dumber things have been mentioned, mate. There's, of course, Canberra Marathon on 4th of April, and then there's Canberra Marathon on the 11th of April. And international travel is unlikely. I mean, people are talking about Japan and there's opportunity of New Zealand as well. But it would depend. AA would have to be involved, and there's talk about it. I know that the distance squad at AA, the distance coaches are talking about different scenarios and whether they create a separate race for people. I'm not sure if any of them there have actually organised a marathon, though, because there's a fair bit involved. So we've already got two. Let's be honest, they're probably the second-tier marathons in Australia, and I can say that as the race director of one of them. There's no Sydney, Melbourne or Gold Coast marathons, the Cadbury or Canberra, but they're both events that are pretty good existing ones at the time that they want to go on. So for me, it makes sense for AA to pick one of those and go, look, let's throw our collective resources behind it. I don't mind which one. I've told Athletics Australia that I'm happy to host a trial of sorts or a national championships or whatever they want to call it, you've won the half. How fast could, if Sinead was flying and the conditions were great, how fast could she run on the Cadbury course, you reckon, mate?
Yeah.
As the half champion.
We had this discussion last week and I said, if you're good on hills, because it's not that hilly, but if you're a strong runner that regularly runs on hills, I think he can still run fast on it. We kind of said last week that we think 2:11:30 is probably out of the question for the men, but I think the women's time could be up for grabs for sure. And, like, we know that Sinead spends time at Fernie and stuff like that and can run hills, spends a lot of time around Albert Park as well in the flat. But, I like your course because you only have to do that hill, that big hill once for the marathon as well. Like, I think that's a benefit. And, you know, you've got the... you've got the advantage of being surrounded potentially by a group of guys. So if there is a bit of wind coming off that, is it a lake or river next to it? At some stages there, you can get a lot of cover, and they can, I'm expecting that there'll be someone having a go at Hobart, and they'll be protected pretty well by a group of fellas.
Yeah, I mean, Millie Clark set the course record for the half this year, and the marathon is 2 laps of the half. She ran 73 flat, and then an hour later backed up and ran 34 flat for the 10K. So she was sort of running the half at her marathon pace, and she said to me afterwards, granted it was probably 2 minutes afterwards, but she said very calmly, yeah, I could have done that again. So it's doable, I think, and you only have to run up that hill in the last 500 metres, so if it comes down to the last 500 metres and, you know, you're cooked, but it doesn't blow you up at 35K and wreck you for the last half an hour of the run, you know. So, look, my offer stands to Athletics Australia. Happy to do everything. It's properly measured. It's a Tasmanian Championships. So I'll get Brian Rowe on the finish line so I can be classified as whatever World Athletics need it to be. If we need to bring the goat, we can.
Richard, isn't it already a certified course? So the girls can come down, run the time, and be qualified by doing that?
Yeah, I think you need gold label officials or something. Is that what you're referring to about Brian Rowe?
Yeah. I mean, I just know that if I get Brian Rowe there, then it's all hunky-dory. So that's my go-to. He's my mentor, and he just comes to my events, and I'm comfortable.
I guess what I'm meaning is they can just go and run the time, and then they're in the team.
Well, that's right, yes. No, it's Dave Cundy measured it last year. If you don't know Dave Cundy, he measures all the major marathons around the world. So it's got the highest level, the AIMS grade A measurement, yes.
Mm. We did miss the women's 10K field, and this has got an interesting story because it's the first time we've seen Eloise Wellings back on the road post-baby. This is pretty exciting. I know you have got Sonia O'Sullivan above her on the entries, which I like, kind of paying respect that she's got the fastest time in the field with her 30:47. And then Sinead Dyer, Izzy Bat-Doyle, Genevieve Gregson, Tara Palm, Nat Rule, Casey Wood, Gemma Maney. That's where the winner's going to come from, one of those names.
Yeah, I think you're right. Leanne Pompiani's been added to that class as well, so she's 33 flat. So you're right, it is loaded. I mean, Sonia, we don't expect her to win at her age, but I think respect having won. She's 30 seconds quicker on PBs than Eloise, so we deserve to be reminded of that. Again, Sinead's set the course record on this 2 years ago when she won the same day as Jack Rayner. She ran 31:57, I think, maybe 58, when she had a good race with Ellie a couple of years back. So I'm also told Izzy Bat-Doyle is flying. Jen, I did see on Instagram, did have a treadmill in her hotel room while she was in quarantine, so she might have a couple of Ks in her legs. And PJ Bosch tells me that his girl Tara is in great shape as well. So it'll be interesting to see how Eloise has bounced off, obviously having another little bub last year. And but surely Sinead, at the moment, she's a very classy athlete. She's got the course record. I think she starts. I'm picking both the course record holders, aren't I? That's been a bit soft. But I think if she's coming down, she's coming down to win, in my mind. Mm.
Any more questions, boys, before we let him go?
No, just well done, Wilshie, on getting this event up and running, especially given how crap this year's been. And to get that sort of field is really impressive. And I'm sure it'll just continue to grow from year to year if you get that sort of depth.
Yeah, it's been really exciting, the fact. And to be honest, if I can do a big shout-out to everybody for coming down. I don't have deep pockets this year. I'm normally really proud of how much I can support elite athletes because I think it's the right thing to do. I had some banter with Liam Adams on Facebook the other day that my business has bankrolled him more than Athletics Australia has over recent years with the prize money that I've given him. But I believe he's earned every cent of it. And but thanks to the athletes that have come down, and many of them paid their own travel. I've helped out with entries and a combo where I can, but I simply haven't been able to be as generous as I can this year because my business has taken a hit. And I've actually never organised this event before. I bought it earlier this year off Wayne Larden, who's got Sydney Running Festival. So here's me hopefully trying to get enough people to to make it worthwhile. Boys, I've got one more thing. Do you want a scoop before we go?
Oh, yeah. Just give us a scoop. Exclusive.
Great man, Blinky, Jared Clifford's coming down. He's going to have a crack at the world record.
What's the world record?
His PB is 29.43. I think off the top of my head, it's either 29.28 or 29.38. So it's really, you know, it's an arm's reach away for him. So I've organised a mate to ride a bike for him and give him the instructions and just help him out with the sights of things. Shout out to Andy Allison, who's going to lend the bike for that. And it'll be a really exciting element of it to hopefully get another world record. It's already got a world record. Mona set the over 40s road world record when he ran 29.59 in 2009, maybe.
Croker's just turned 40. Welshy, he could get down there next year.
Come on down, mate. You can room with me.
Is that record still around?
Surely someone's broken it. Surely, yeah.
I would have thought somebody had gone faster since then, like on the road.
It'd be Australian.
Over
40
year old.
It'd be still Australian, though, Coach. You could get that.
Yeah, but I'm one of those people that Welshy referred to earlier as the 5K park runners. That's me these days.
Didn't you hear the retirement announcement he gave, Brady?
Yeah, I did. I love the memes that come with it as well. Sorry, Welsh, we're getting off track here. Now, that's good scoop. And Jared Clifford just coming down from altitude as well, so should be fit and raring to go.
Yeah, he's keen. So there will be a poor man's live stream. Again, I don't have huge bucks to have a big broadcast, but we will be live streaming it on the Launceston Running Festival Facebook page. So by all means, the fans who can't get down to it, you can follow the action still.
We'll make sure we share all that on our socials. We'll sit back and we'll watch it from home. Thanks for your time tonight, Welshy.
Good lads. Thanks, guys.
See you, mate.
Thanks, Welshy.
Cheers.
See you, mate. You can just hang up now. We'll keep rolling.
Play on.
Alright, hey fellas, what are we going to talk about next? Oh, well, she did hint it. Talking about the NAS. Moose, bad news for you. NAS funding was announced last week. 152 of Australia's most promising track and field athletes have been awarded National Athlete Support Structure, which stands for NAS, membership by Athletics Australia. There was a number floating around here as well. $9.2 million worth of funding that's come from the Australian Sports Commission. Unfortunately, though, Big Moose, your name wasn't on the list. How'd you feel when you saw that?
Missed out again, mate.
Missed out again.
Yeah, no. I'm not expecting to pick up any cash there.
It was a joke.
I know that.
That's
there
right.
There are some people, though. It's a joke for me, but yeah. There are people who could really do with this support that obviously aren't getting it. So, it's not that funny to them.
Yeah, and it is, like, I know we've talked about trying to get someone on in the past. It is really confusing because they don't put, like, a monetary value on what the different levels of support are. I know it's, there's a few different ones there. We've talked about in the past that, like, is it Kelsey Barber, the javelin thrower? She's on the very top kind of tier. I'm just opening now. And you know more about this than me, so please jump in when you can. So she's on, like, the gold kind of funding level. Then there's a podium level where with Danny Stevens there. Then there's a podium ready level, the podium potential level, the pathways developing level, and the emerging level, and a bit of representative level as well. I don't know what it all means. It's kind of interesting because we started talking about it, I think, this time last year, seeing some people go up, some people go down, some people's names not on there. Anything stand out to you?
Oh, you'll note Brett Robinson's back on there. That was a bit of a standout to me because he hasn't been on there the last few years. So that was interesting. The ones getting cash are maybe the top two or three tiers, and then there's no wherever Ali sits, there's no cash, but there's access to medical services. So
Ali went up one, though, didn't she? Didn't she go up one or not?
I don't think she went up one. I think she stayed where she was.
Yeah, so listeners, people they're familiar with, so obviously no distance runners in gold, podium, or podium ready, but then in podium potential, like Katrina Bissett, who we've spoken about, the 800-meter runner, Sinead Diver on that one as well, Genevieve Gregson, Jessica Hull, Stewie, that makes up the distance runners. And then on the pathways under developing, that's where we see names like Ali, Jack Rayner, Brett Robinson. So is that like access to the medical stuff? And then Ollie Hall's on that one as well. Pat Tiernan, I reckon, was maybe he's the next one down. I was surprised to see him so far down. And then the emerging must be, or the representative one, because Liam Adams put a really good Facebook post about this, because I think he did get on, or he was offered the lowest level of the NAS support, which was a free gym membership at the VIS, and he kind of said he you know, told him he politely declined it, but his name was still on the list, which he kind of did this Facebook post, which we'll put in the show notes, saying how he was a bit disappointed because it's like they're trying to say these are the people we're supporting with this 9.2 million, whereas he kind of hasn't accepted that support because he's got access to his athletics club gym, which for me, this is the he ran a faster time at BY than Brett and Jack. He's our fastest marathoner at the moment, an Olympian, Commonwealth Games, two times Commonwealth Games guy. I was talking to Archie about this when I was running Sunday. Like, if you're a 19 or 20-year-old with aspirations to go run a marathon, and this is the guy who's our very best at the moment, the guy you look up to, and then you look at what level of support he gets from our governing body, and it's a free gym membership, it's not a great thing to look up to when you're a 19-year-old kid, is it?
But as Moose said, like, it's only really the top one or two tiers that are actually getting significant, like, monetary benefits.
Well, where's the 9.2 million go then, of federal funding towards this?
Well, I'm sure some of it goes into, like, the support into the staff at AA. Like, I'm sure that's not all given. That's definitely not all given out to the athletes. There's no way that's given out to the athletes. But
9.2, I'm just doing some maths here, Brad. 9.2 divided by 152 athletes are on the page. That's 60 grand each.
Yeah.
How many coaches are they paying? Okay.
But it's
60 grand, 526.
There's only a handful of AA athletes that are getting, like, decent, I guess, monetary amounts. The rest of the support's not necessarily keeping athletes in the sport. And I have read discussions, like, you know, Sally Pearson, when she was at a top, like, she would be the top level. She'd be getting good money from AA, but she'd be also getting good money from all of her sponsors, all of her appearance money. And not saying that she doesn't deserve it, but it's almost like she doesn't necessarily need that support from AA anymore because she's established. It's the likes of Jack and Brett that they have to decide whether they want to stay in the sport, that the money could be more valuable to those types of athletes than the already world class.
That is a good point. Is that if you're looking to develop athletes, do you put them on the lowest rung where they get the least amount of help? But the thing that sort of has frustrated me, when in my very limited experience with this system, is when Ali had gone out and run as fast as anybody else. Oh, I think she was the second fastest in the country at the time, and she'd run maybe the in the top 10 in three distances Australian all time, and she was left off NAS funding altogether, not on any level. And the question was put by her to AA and said, hey, how do I access some help or support from AA? And the response was, you don't apply for it, we'll tell you when you're going to get it. Basically, there's no way you can apply for this stuff. You don't put in applications, you don't fill out anything. It's basically them deciding who gets it, discretionary based. There's no times. It's very much like who's your favorites there? Who's in the system already by the sounds of it? Who's connected well? Who do they like as a, like, personally? It seems very discriminatory in that regard.
It's just not very transparent. That's what it seems like. Like, there's an attachment there, and I read it, and I'm like, I should be able to look at this and go, right, who gets what? Like, even this new one down the bottom, the representative, like, it seems like a whole lot of people who are, like, maybe yourself, Moose, who have made a team, and a lot of relay runners in here. But then you've got guys like Pat Tiernan. Like, he just missed the Australian record. Lisa Waitman, you know, she's been on teams flat out. She's got a spot now for the Olympics coming forward. She's in the top three.
She's qualified. Millie like Clark,
she comes 16th at the Olympics.
Olympic qualifiers, they're like, you want to prepare this athlete for the Olympics. There's a, like, we know how far out it is, and we know that they've basically got a spot, or they're qualified for it. Wouldn't you go, all right, well, this guy's going to the Olympics, like, probably will help fund his campaign for the Olympics. Mm. Like anyway. Yeah, I don't know enough about it. I know that there's a lot of staff there with roles that I don't understand the definition of.
Oh, yeah, so then that $9.2 million I mentioned from Liam's post, that is over 2 years of federal funding as well. Yeah, and Liam just kind of said, does anyone know where I can follow up to make sure that Athletics Australia or the VIS isn't claiming to the Australian Sports Commission, AIS, or whatever federal agency that they are supporting me? Yeah. So it's good that Liam's talking up about this stuff as well, because I think in the past, you know, it was a bit quiet, and if you spoke against the establishment, they might have had negative kind of consequences going forward for you. But Liam's on the loose. I love it.
Do you reckon if Liam's like put down as this representative level, they've valued that and gone, okay, well, that's $500 for that gym membership.
I reckon they'd be like, what are we charging at VIS for gym memberships for a year? That's $1,000. Okay, yeah. So we're saying to the Athletic Sports Commission, that's $1,000. And I did see that Lisa Waitman made a comment saying, hey, I also am on that same level as you, and I didn't accept. So there's another maybe $1,000 that they're saying, this is where we're spending it on high performance. And they're not.
Yeah.
Well, they are, but it's through a system in a way, isn't it? Anyway, Liam Adams was in action at the 50K. He was pacing that. We spoke about it last week. Down for Nocchiaro. Took it down in the end. 2:50.49. Dane Verway was 2:52.20 under the previous record of 2:53.47 as well. So those two boys, took the 50K record. John Dutton in third spot. I think you mentioned it last week, Moose, that he might have been a bit off the pace. 2:54.29. Took about 5 minutes off his PB, though, so he went pretty well.
I heard he give you a spray at the end, Brady.
I got home from your long run, and everyone's sending me this video saying Dutton's just leaping off at Inside Running Podcast. And I was like, geez, what have we done here? So, yeah, he said you got to do some research. I didn't even leap him off last week. You did.
No. That's
said,
it.
So I always get thrown out of the bus. Like, I'm just the guy that publishes it to iTunes.
I saw it as well. He goes, Inside Running Boys. I didn't even mention Dutton's name. It was only one person that mentioned Dutton's name. It was you, Moose.
Moose said, how's he going to break the record?
2:25, which is correct.
Yeah, so you did your research then, Moose.
Yeah, you said, how's he going to break the record if he can only run 2:25, and that's what the split is, 2:25. And he didn't break the record, so I suppose you were right in the end, Moose.
I suppose I was right. Yeah, I guess I was right.
He was fuming. Someone put a screen up to him and he crossed the line. Like, he just ran 125 laps, and someone goes, you got anything to say, John? And he just starts going loose on Inside Running. It's like, settle down, JD. He would have been thinking about that for the last 50 laps. Anyway.
He's a rival podcaster now.
Dion's pretty solid. That's a pretty solid time. I don't know how they do that, 125 on the laps of the track. Hats off to both those boys.
Kudos for them to put it together too. It's something cool that we can all sort of follow, I guess, give people to sort of something to cheer on, and obviously gave them some purpose to train for over the last few months.
Especially because all those boys are deep in that Melbourne lockdown as well. So, and I think Dano does a lot of the heavy lifting there, putting that little podcast together. Well, not little, it's probably bigger now, podcast together, and gets those boys on there and does all the behind-the-scenes work. And good bloke, Dano. Thanks for, I think he's a patron as well, Dano. Thanks for listening, supporting us every week. Some news over in India, Brad.
So there was a half marathon in Delhi where there was some quick times both in the men's and women's. The women's race was taken out by Yalimzerf Yehua Law from Ethiopia. She ran 64:46 unofficially. She actually finished third at the recent World Half Marathon Championships. And in the men's race, that was won by Amadwerk Valaline, and he ran 58:52, which was a course record. There was 8 under 60 minutes, and there's also an Indian record of 60:30 for the guy that finished 10th.
That's a good run from any. Like, you don't really hear about Indian guys running 60:30, do you?
No,
there was always a lady used to run the 15, I reckon it was. Or was it the 5K? Always used
Tom
to see
Games.
Her.
Yeah, I think that was a 15.
Mm. And then there was a gent too that used to be on the road circuit. It might still be the same guy.
This guy was a steepler. Like, I think he'd run an 8:20 steeplechase.
Okay.
And then he stepped up the half marathon. Abedwerk's my new favourite runner as well. I was Googling before we started recording. I like him. I noticed him when he got that bronze at World Half Marathon Champs.
Amedwerk Valerlien. So it's like Ethiopian first name. Like, it almost sounds Dutch, his surname.
He doesn't look like a traditional Ethiopian.
Huh?
He doesn't look like a traditional Ethiopian either. Like, he's a bit bulkier.
I did my research, Moose, on the pronunciation. I looked back at the World Half Marathon clips and just tried to copy the commentators.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Hey, that, yeah, Valerlien takes the bronze.
Yeah, wow, okay. Valerlien, W stands for V.
Yeah.
Or V opposite.
Dutch, should do some research there, see if we can get some facts about where that last name's come from, Brad.
He'll cross
the finish line fuming at us next time he does a race.
That's pretty fast, 58.52.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Third best in the world champs behind Kipolimo. He's quality, this guy. Listen to question, Brad. We do all that news. I think we did, didn't we? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Listen to question. Interested to know your thoughts on this one, fellas. I'm doing a marathon time trial in a couple of weeks, as here in the UK, official races are still a long way off. Given I'm time trialing, I was going to organise someone to ride next to me and hand me my drinks and gels whenever I'm planning to have them. In races, however, I don't have an elite/sub-elite start, so I don't get my own drinks or gels. Therefore, should I be doing the time trial under the same conditions I'll be racing when they return to prepare the body for what it has to get used to on race day, or should I be making the most of this one-off time trial and getting the most out of the support to be handed gels and drinks? I can see benefits for both outcomes and would love to know your thoughts. Cheers, Sam. Mm.
Good question, Sam.
I like that question,
When I
actually.
First read it, I was just like, oh, of course, you just go to the gels. And then I was like, oh, no, but yeah. Then if you've got to rock up the London Marathon next year and all of a sudden you've, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the fact that he's doing a marathon time trial is brutal enough as it is. So I would cut him some slack for this one and say, take all the support you want. But when you prepare for your next marathon, because obviously there's going to be a recovery after this and then another build for the next block, practice not having so much support in your training.
Do you think maybe somewhere in between, Brad? So, like, mate, let's say Sam can carry 6 gels. So he's still, but instead of going from 6 to 10, he might just go from 6 to 9.
Yeah, well, like,
to get three-handed to him.
I'd just get the support. But, like, I for my marathons, I carried 4 gels on me anyway.
I don't understand what the big deal is. The guy's going out doing a time trial. His mate's helping him. Mm. This isn't counting to a PB. This isn't counting to IAAF.
But he's just saying he doesn't want to rock up to the next marathon and being like, oh, I remember when I did that time trial one, it was super easy because I had all that support. Now I'm back to getting the paper cups and they're getting spilled all down my throat and stuff.
So what, you're always going to – that's like arguing that you're always going to train without – like in absolute marathon conditions. That's like saying you'll never do anything outside marathon conditions because it's not the same as what it would be like on race day.
Yeah, but when you do your key marathon workouts, you plan to have your gels when you're going to pick them off the table and stuff, don't you?
Yeah, but I don't say no to a water if it's offered to me by someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't...
So you're saying you take everything you can, Sam?
Yeah, take the most of support.
Yeah, I agree with you. Because I reckon if you got it there, you may as well make use of it. And as you said, bro, they're hard enough to do so as it is.
Yeah. But then at some point for your next marathon, when you know you're not going to get that support, you probably have to practice, you know, trying to replicate to a point of how it's going to be on race day, where if you've got shitty cups, use some shitty cups or, you know, work out what you're going to do on race day and practice that.
Get one of those belts to carry some gels, you reckon?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Good question, though.
That could be like...
Moose fired up there.
6 months. Yeah, just like, you can't be so serious all the time. Let the man take a drink when he wants.
Runners are serious people.
Well, Moose, don't be so serious. Let him claim a PB then.
Hey, come on, Moose. Run downhill, Sam, with a massive tailwind for 42K. Then cross the line, get your phone out and have a go at us.
It's going to be the same IAAF result as if he did it uphill.
why are you always going to be so serious, Moose?
You bloke's telling him fucking hell.
Anyway, it must be like purchase. It must be purchase of the week time, Moose.
All right, yeah.
Been a long episode.
Come on.
I heard a little rumor that you were going to treat yourself to a Surf Coast Track Club tattoo on your left quad to match your Chico state on the right quad?
Joke you've already used. I feel like let down.
not for people that aren't on Instagram.
No one follows Surfcoast Track Club.
You don't follow it the second time.
Serious question though, Moose. You've got a Chico state tat on your leg, which obviously means something to you. How big would Surfcoast Track Club have to get for you to get a Surfcoast Track Club tat on you on your other leg?
Good question, yeah, bro.
I was thinking, you know, chest. The one along your lip. So when you sort of pull your lip down, the logo is shaped in a horizontal for that.
Yeah.
It would actually look quite good, I reckon. And that way I can be joined to the club for life.
Anyway, it's just a little bit of a gag, but also like, you know, slightly serious question. If Surfcoast Track Club became like a real legit club, not saying it's not legit now, but would you consider it?
Well, look, to become a legit club, you actually need to have discus throwers and javelin coaches.
Who told you that? Athletics Victoria?
Yeah,
actually, no, you don't, do you?
Yeah.
What, you need to have throwers and jumpers and that?
Yeah, we don't fit the definition of an athletics club, so we will never be that.
What about the ones in Sydney, like Run Crew and that? Benny Saint doesn't have javelin throwers in there, does he? It's called Run Crew.
Actually, because that's a good question, because AV will not let a club like ours run in cross-country as a team, but how are they allowed to run in New South Wales and the like Delta and stuff? You know, they wear their singlets.
Yeah, guy coach runs for him. He's a legend.
Is there a different set of rules that define an athletic club in New South Wales?
I don't know, but that's a good question. You should reach out to Gary and Ben and ask.
Yeah, because we were thinking
James
of registering.
James Constantine will tell you straight away. Yeah, Matt Whitbread, those guys will watch it. Yeah, register in New South Wales and run invite or something. Or you can't just run anyway down here. Remember when you come down Croaks running for Sydney Uni?
Yeah.
You can still win stuff.
But that's because I'm registered with another club in a different state.
So you could start a rogue club and then like get Liam Adams and Brett Robinson and all those guys running for you. Yeah. Just win the AV series and you're not even a Victorian club, it's all living in Victoria.
I might get...
Archie and I will do it. We'll sign up. Glenn as well. I'll bring three of our boys down.
Yes. All right.
Moose will be registered in Moama. I live in New South Wales legally.
Oh, shit, yeah. We're
we can do
here.
This.
All right.
Archie lives in Moama as well.
The tat gag turned into a mini Moose on the loose.
Because we've been thinking, how can we can do this?
I've got a residential address in New South Wales. So I'll make this clubhouse. Moama Bowling Club would sponsor it.
Oh,
we might need to change the name though. Surf Coast Track Club coming out of Moama, 400k for the beach. I know.
Almost a year since we celebrated.
Yeah, Moama Bowling Club.
Are you still sponsored by them, or are you giving that up?
Yeah, no,
pass
still
that on to the youth, the young fella.
Nah, still got another year on me. 2020, 2021, I think. End of 2021, it expires.
He's dropped down to podium potential though with the bowling club. He's not on the top tier.
Yeah, just access to the pokies.
Yeah, no, so I went to the AGM last week. That's where I was actually on Tuesday night. It was pretty serious down there.
Do a bit of Brady Threlfall elite athlete speaker.
Nah, they asked me to speak at the first AGM when I was sponsored by them, but now it's old news. Like I've been like 6 years or something now. I just go and vote for the new directors and stuff. Brad, that was nearly 12 months ago. Sinking beers there. Fond memories. What is coming up? There's heaps of stuff coming up. Heaps to get excited about, listeners. South Australia, Fast 5K. I think it's actually their 5K champs, not so much as time trial over there. All the fast guys from South Australia we always talk about. Some New South Wales guys as well, Bradley, over there as well. And the big name, Sam Clifford, from is Australian under 25K record holder, like 14.03, I reckon, his rant. He's also entered. So that's going down maybe Wednesday or Thursday night. Joe Burgess... Is that a name you're familiar with? He's ran 808 or something the other day, didn't he?
No, 805. Brad?
805.
He was part of my team in the inside running challenge at Bankstown.
It's come a lot. He didn't do much that night, but now he's gone and ran 805.
Yeah, I'll be picking him this time around for sure if he's running.
There was someone else as well. I can't find off. Yeah, PJ Bosch sends me too many messages and can't scan through it that fast. But, a couple more New South Wales guys as well there. So that's first thing to watch out for, some South Australian stuff. Maybe AH Elite Boys are live streaming again on their Instagram. Next weekend's obviously Launceston Running Festival. And Brad was just referring to it. The Albie Thomas Mile is the weekend after that. And we're hopefully, if we get enough big names involved, going to have an Inside Rowing Podcast team challenge. Round two, boys. Remember that time? We picked a team. They raced against each other. My team won. So if you're looking for a 5K, you're in Sydney, you're a 14-minute guy around there. I think Ed Goddard wants sub-14 pace to try and get a 13-something next to his name. So he might be worth picking. That would be the last kind of racing opportunity before Christmas. So something to look out for there. And this I just came across my desk this afternoon, actually, December 4th, which must be Wednesday or Thursday, in America, really big 5K and 10K coming up, and two Australians in the 10K, which is getting paced at sub-27.30 pace. So that's, 6 seconds off the Australian record, 27.24, Pat Tiernan and Morgan McDonald.
Wow, that's exciting.
And how's the field? Like, it's just deep. There's some huge names in there. Ed Cheswick, Eric Jenkins, some big Hassan Mead, some big American names. That's going to be fast. Sam Chalanga, he's probably still furious that you've ripped off his book last week, Moose.
It sounded like he'd retired
I thought he did retire.
Yeah, I was reading his book going, this bloke's done, he's finished.
Augustus Mayo, he's one of the army guys, I reckon. He runs fast. Hillary Bohr, like, this is legit. Pat Tierney could take the Australian record down here for sure.
Ben True.
Still kicking around Ben True.
Yeah.
He gets it done too, doesn't he?
Very consistent. And also, you forgot, Brady, the Valencia Marathon is on this weekend as well.
Oh, it is in there as well. There's so much stuff written on this document. You miss stuff, don't you? So our three boys, Pete LeGrice.
Is it really? This weekend?
Yeah, this weekend. Yep. Pete LeGrice, Martyrs, and who's the other guy? Matthew Klaus. Klausy. The star of the show.
Another guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
He'll be fucking ropeable with that
guy. Yeah. No, he won't. I'll message him during the week.
You're off the Christmas card list.
Mate, you're lucky Klaus is on that show, boys. Lucky Klaus is on there, to be honest. All right. Klausy, what's he going to run, boys? 2:11? I think so.
He wants to. I reckon he'll run 2:12. 2:12 low.
Needs to hit the time, though. 2:11:30.
Yeah, well,
you don't go for 2:12 if you've got to run 2:11:30. You reckon he's going to fail?
2:11:29, Klausy. I've got your back.
2:11:10, Klausy, just because I love you and never forget your name.
Yeah, no, I'm a 2:12 low. That's pretty good for Klausy, I reckon.
Nah, he's quality. He's a quality guy.
He's had a good block.
Bloody oath he has. So you'll be doing that Thursday morning. Moose, I think you're up there last show. Yeah.
Friday morning.
Oh, I see. It's there Thursday
Friday
night.
Friday morning.
Yeah, yep, you're doing that for me. They were pretty good last week of you, Croaks, I thought. Loosened them up a bit.
Yeah, it was good fun. I enjoyed the chat with them.
It's only taken 7 weeks to get them a bit loose. Anyway, that's right. What else is coming up in your life, Bradley?
Park run on Saturday, actually. So this is the once a month with my group. So we're we basically do a park run, a solid park run the first Saturday of every month moving forward. So yeah, we should have 8 or 9 of us going around. I'll probably do a 16:30, but we're going to a different course this time. We're going to Burley Griffin, if anybody's keen to come down and have a run.
Am I going to have to sit here and listen to you talk about how you win parkrun every fucking weekend from now on?
I won't win this week. 16:30, tempo this week.
Tell Clifford that.
I raced last week.
Tell Clifford to go stitch you up 2 minutes.
Yeah, get him down there. What are you doing, Moose?
I don't think I'm doing anything out of the ordinary this week.
Tattoo parlor?
I think they just reopened, actually, yeah. The tattoo industry's been hit hard by COVID. Saved my bottom lip a few times, actually.
You do like shopping local, helping out the small businesses.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
Well, you would have been fuming the last couple of days, wouldn't you? This Black Friday and Cyber Monday stuff. That would have been a big trigger for you, wouldn't it?
Not a big trigger. You know, the people that shop on those sites, they're not quite the customer that comes in needing to know what shoe they need. Mm. You know, it's a bit of a different customer.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. I've got a dribble this week, fellas. We're fending
a lot of
people. What
about you, Brady? What do you got coming up?
Just working, Brad. Just working. Actually, 2-year wedding anniversary this weekend. Ooh. Well, close to it. I think it's next Tuesday, but we're going to go out for dinner on the weekend. Save the highlight of my week. Just I was telling you last week, I'm doing this new job at school for the last 4 weeks, so just been enjoying that, but it's busy. Just get that done. And then, I'm going to do 2 sessions, have some beers on Saturday night, go from there. We're done, boys.
Very good. All right. Have a good week.
See you next week. Long show. Bye.